Blog Talk Radio.
So this is Jermaine Edwards. Yeah. Listen, in all you're getting, get wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Aim for the sky, reach the mountain, keep climbing. Stop saying you can't, oh, you know you never tried it. Don't waste your energy unless you see the benefits. Negative thoughts, pessimist call. I'm an optimist rising, though sometimes I fall. I'ma keep moving even if I have to crawl. Running with a purpose, and I know I have to run far.
Principles work everywhere, anytime. Failures get life when success is denied. Why no? Every question deserves a reply. And my life is submitted to the highest of high. I got my eyes on the prize. I won't lie. Fight for my faith till I die. There is a reason why.
Because of the price you pay, yeah.
Dream me, that's my act now. Tell Fetty I won't bow. Poppy collar, you're a winner, you're a star. Know who God says you are.
When I'm a hot step, either of you, but when I'm a turn my
try, to the end I'm gonna fight. I can do all things you got.
nobody's not around, they don't know why. Feel rejected inside. Broken families, broken homes, painful memories like no hope. And you feel like letting go. I know you feel like letting go, oh, but I say don't give up. Press until you see your way through. Your way through. But if the door closes, knock it there for answer. It's time to move and face the truth. I'm gonna smile. I'm gonna try.
praise the Lord, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio on blogtalk.com. I am your host, Brother Mike, and tonight we're going to have a very important and powerful teaching coming from Apostle Emmett Overton on what to do as a minister. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get ready. Brother Emmett, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Can you spell ministry for me, please?
M-I-N-I-S-T-R-Y.
Wanted to make sure I was right. Okay. All right, Big Mike, I got it.
All right.
Okay. Welcome again to Live Deliverance Internet Radio. Big Mike, where you at? Get me a King James Version. Before we start, we're going to let Pastor John Durden open us up in prayer, and then we'll proceed. Big Mike, get ready for the King James Version. Okay, Brother John, you can open us up in prayer.
Good evening, everyone. Let us pray. Father God, we come and pray to you and ask that you anoint our brother, and we ask that you give him revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will empower him to teach your word tonight with clarity, simplicity, and boldness. And may our spirit, Father God, be alert and clear, and our hearts become receptive to what is being said. And I pray also, Father, that the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Spirit, would move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief, discord, backsliding, and vain thoughts be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus of Nazareth. And Father, finally, we pray that your words would bring salvation and healing and deliverance to all here in your presence this evening. And it's in the mighty name of your divine Son, the Lord Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. And everybody in agreement with this prayer, say amen and amen and amen.
Okay, we're going to have a 46-second delay, and I'm waiting on Rabbi Ishmael. He's coming in. He's a friend of mine from Israel. I got some Jewish Christians. They don't like to be called Messianic. They're just Jewish Christians. They really prefer to be Jewish Christians, and they're going to be coming in. Give me 46 seconds, and we'll get started. Okay, he's on. We are ready to get started. All right, we want to thank you for listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. And we have a powerful sermon tonight. I've been getting emails from ministers who's learning deliverance ministry, whether you're in a deliverance ministry or not. All of us are ministers because we are supposed to minister to people and witness. So those who are called into the ministry, who are out front as pastors and leaders, I hope that this information will be good for you. We thank Brother John for opening prayer, and now we are going to start this sermon concerning what to do and what not to do in ministry. And what I have learned, and this was passed down to me from Pastor Wayne Thompson, and it was confirmed to me with Apostle John Eckhart. It was also confirmed with Apostle Andrew J. Scott. Bring people, when you're ministering to people, give them the word of God. Most pastors, not all, now I'm not here to judge. I'm just telling you what I have experienced in ministry. I'm telling you what I have encountered with people being hurt in ministry, and what pastors can do and bring damage to people when they don't necessarily know it, is to control people. That's witchcraft. Give people the word of God. That's it. And we find a lot of pastors control people and persons may want to leave the church. Well, come on here and sit down and talk to me. What, have we not provided teaching and counseling for you? You're in the choir. You're doing real good. You're sending your tithes. I tell you, don't, you know, just pray about it again. If God wants you to move out of there, you don't have to go through any stepping stones. Just tell the brother out of love and respect, you know, I'm leaving this organization. That does not mean I'm leaving Christ. And leave in peace. Never go with a grudge when someone leaves your ministry. Don't take it personal. If you're in the ministry, if you're taking things personal, you won't last that long in this ministry. Another thing that ministers are supposed to do, and a lot of them get caught up in it. Now, you know, I'm speaking for those who need healing. Jesus said, I did not come on earth to come to help people who are healthy and healed. I came to heal those who are sick. So if you have some sickness in your area of your ministry, I hope this will be a good information for you to bestow upon and pray about it and use it. Another thing, too, I'm going to go back to the control part, because there's a lot of control in certain churches. The pastor this, the pastor that, the pastor, the pastor, the pastor, the pastor, the pastor, the pastor. And more emphasis is on the pastor than Jesus Christ. And because we can see him. See, we can see him. You can't see Jesus, but you can see the pastor. And some pastors like that, because that keeps you locked and have a soul tie with them. And they may be normally doing that deliberately. You see, churches are cliques. You at this clique, and I go to you to this clique, and it's cliquish. You know, they know you. You go to that church. This person, I'm not cliquish. I have to stay out of that. I'm internet radio. I'm not interested in trying to go to different churches. People do call me. If you want me to come, I will have to pray about it, see what you want to talk about before I come. Can we do it cheaper by YouTube? Because I would prefer to be home with my Dobermans and my family. But that's my calling, internet. Find your calling and stay away from controlling people if you're going to be a minister. Another thing, too, is that you got to lead people to the word and let them know, don't look at me. Too many people look at me and say, oh, he teaches the word and he don't have no problems. Man, please. I'm probably the worst of all of you, you know. We ministers have problems. Sometimes they don't want to be real with it. They want to be so religious where, you know, they're setting an example. No, they have sin just like anybody else. Anybody on earth with flesh have sin. So respect the position, respect the rank, you know, not the person, but the rank, the apostleship, the positions in the body of Christ, if they are fulfilling what an apostle is supposed to be. And that's another subject. Because if people say that there are what they are, they have to fulfill guidelines by the Bible. And we're going to talk about that too. Another thing is stay out of people's business. Don't never get gossip with people. Don't get cliquish and have buddy-buddy with your congregation. You can't lead like that. Because what they're going to want is favors, and then you're going to have to make a decision. Either it's going to be the word of God, or I'm going to do this for this person that may be violating what God wants you to want him to do, and you and him see it's okay, get your buddy-buddy. You can't have that of being a minister. You have to accept the example and send people to Jesus, not to you. Send them to Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, I've been praying all day. All day I've been praying against forces of darkness. And we're going to talk about that in this deliverance ministry also. In 1 Thessalonians 4:11, it says, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you. Stay out of people's business. Don't control people. You know, one lady told me that the pastor told her that I have to go to my pastor before I talk to my husband about it. I said, no, you don't. You see, and some churches do that. You know, the pastor called here to the husband. Oh, hey, pastor, hey, here your wife. I'm not passing no phone. Some man calling my wife. I'm her pastor, prophet, priest, and king. What's wrong with you? What do you want my wife? You know, if men use their position of authority, they can block that, but they don't. A pastor is a person, when husband and wife and children and family go to a congregation, when you sit under that congregation and you're listening, he's just a covering that's represent the Lord. He's a spokesperson of the Lord, and he's your pastor under that covenant. When he says amen, He's not that woman's pastor who's married. I don't know where they get that from, and that's heavy in the church. And a lot of women like to go and jump up to the pastor and not having respect for the husband. Of course, that comes out of ignorance. And if that's not being taught the role of a woman or a man in the Bible with Bible principles, he or she may miss this act of being obedient in the kingdom of God. Another thing is to know the titles. When you're being a minister, certain things should follow you. And most pastors, and not all, don't have any signs following them. So if you're going to be in the ministry, have some gifts. You know, operate in the spirit, operate in the gifts. I'm just going to show you something for an example, if you're a minister. Say, for instance, someone questions you, and you say you're an evangelist. Well, you may say, well, if you don't know what an evangelist is, then you're going to get it wrong when you see someone come to a church and say, this is evangelist Janice Kilmore, and she's now about to bring the word of God, and all she do is hoop and holler and scream and dance all day. That's not an evangelist. So if you're going to be a minister, you have to do what the scripture says that a minister does. Now, I'm in the deliverance ministry, and I'm going to tell you, every one of you, where's my assistant pastor? And I want everyone to hear this, including Sister Durden told me to tell people, up on this type of ministry, it's always an attack, always with us. Where, Brother Mike? Pastor Mike?
Yes, sir.
Can you comment on that? Isn't it always an attack something? It's constantly something?
All the time. And when you think you got a break, it's still something coming. And trust me, when you start, I can speak from experience. When I started, it's like one thing after another, and it starts, and it intensifies. The attacks, they intensify. So don't think, you know, for 1 minute, just because you're starting this ministry, that you won't get attacked. Well, you will. And, you know, because the devil ain't going to play fair. He's trying to take you out from even working in this ministry.
And when you're dealing with demons every day, you know, we got me and Sister Durden, Brother Mike, I'm 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 8, 9, 10. I do about 25 exorcisms a month. That's a lot on a human being. Then I got to have a family. I got to, you know, I'm so glad my wife is not insecure. You know, she's doing what you're doing, man, you know, and she know what I'm doing. So she ain't the type of person I got to sit up and hug and cuddle and treat like a child. She's a woman. And when you are structured in your family in this ministry, you got to let people know. Teach your family about demons, man. They know. They see it. Because they come after you in this ministry and just in any ministry. Now, let me say this here. There are three things a minister must stay away from. Power, money, and women. When I do a deliverance session, I'm always going to have Sister Durden in my presence. And my wife knows that me and Sister Durden, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. They ain't nothing there, nothing ever have, never even thought of it. It's a sister in Christ. That's like a physical sister to me. Ain't nothing like that there. But when you're doing a ministry, you need to have a woman with you if you're dealing with women. Don't put yourself in a place where you will give place to the devil, and they lady may say something to you, and you don't have a witness, and she may lie. I've had people lie on me, you know, actually lie on me and said, well, if you don't do such and such, I'm gonna, I said, go say what you got to say, because I know I ain't done nothing, and I just keep teaching. But be careful with people and how you minister to them, especially with husbands. If you got a lady and you minister to her, ask her about her husband. Hey, well, can I meet him? Respect the man's authority, whether he's saved or unsaved. If he's unsaved, she said, well, he may not want to talk. Then let the woman do it. I let Sister Durden talk then. I said, well, here, I'm going to let you talk to Sister Durden, and when y'all get ready to do some deliverance, let me know. Because that's that man's wife. That man may not want me talking to his wife. You have to use wisdom. Wisdom is the principle of all things. So stay away from power, that's pride, wanting to take credit. You know, you are proudful for how many members you have. The Bible said despise not small things. We have thousands of people listening to us. But I don't have to go out and brag, say, we got thousands of people listening to us worldwide, because if I do that, then that's pride upon me. And when a minister get caught up in pride, he's about to fall. We all know that Satan got out of heaven because of pride. You know, so leave pride out the game, because when pride comes in, you have an enemy that some of you may not know, and his name is Leviathan. And Joel 41 speaks of this proudful demonic spirit. Cast thou out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord, which thou lettest down. This is a very powerful beast. And this beast here operates with pride. So as a minister, stay away from pride. When I have a female, I may get word of knowledge, and it may be a sexual sin. I say, ma'am, wait 1 minute. Can you put your headset down? Sister Durden has something to tell you. So she'll put her headset down. And I said, can you just walk away from the phone, or from the headset where you can't hear? And she said, okay. I said, we'll wave at you when you can put it back on. And I'll tell Sister Durden by word of knowledge, it's a sexual sin. She's dealing with this sin or that sin, and I'm not going to be naming nothing because I don't want any demons in you arousing. So that's what I do, and let her deal with it. So if you're a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ, it's not even good for a single sister to try to do a deliverance with a single man. You may have the same demons, or she may. If you ain't ready, your flesh is not crucified where you can sustain yourself in orderly fashion, you don't need to do that. See, the devil can trap us with all these things. I pray that this has been a blessing to you, because the devil got many traps. In Ephesians 4:27, the word says, give the devil no place. Now, as far as being in the ministry, and even if you're not in the ministry, you should know what positions that God has put in the church that's supposed to operate in. Now, I can't teach all that tonight. I can teach on the pastor, the office of the helps, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is to tell you what to do and what not to do. But I am going to include just using the evangelist as a reference point so that you can go in Ephesians 4:11 and study the fivefold gifts ministries. We're going to talk about the importance of the Holy Spirit and using the nine gifts as a minister. Most ministers, what they do is perform if they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Not all theologians, but some who go to school of theology, not all, because Brother John has renounced, he's changed his life, he's learning by the leading of the Holy Spirit, use their natural minds in ministry to people. And the carnal mind is an enemy against God in Romans 8:6. The natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 2:14. And if you're going to be a really good deliverance minister, you don't have to guess. And God bless Brother Shannon, but when he was on my radio station, my God, guess who did? And it just guessing the name of demons. And what's this? Who you? And why are you asking questions that can't hear from the Holy Spirit? Nothing against my brother. I love him. I pray for him. I pray that he get more power and shut down that Donald Trump site and trying to lift up a president and lift up the name of Jesus. Nothing against him. But I really more comfortable when I'm doing deliverance from me and Sister Durden, because we know each other and we've been doing it for years. If you're going to be a good deliverance minister, you're going to have a team. You're going to need a team, man, because you can't do it by yourself. Sometimes Sister Durden to get word of knowledge, or I may get word of knowledge, but please be spirit-filled dealing with this ministry. Don't try to do this ministry in the flesh. Too many people have been hurt with pastors trying to operate in the flesh. And there are deliverance ministers out here that's charging people money, $35 for doing a counsel. I don't do that. $1,000 to do a deliverance session. $3,000 for a deliverance session? Jesus never charged. And see, when you start doing stuff like that, you're dabbling with the power of God. And to me, that's very close to root working and doing the arts of the devil, trying to sell the purchase, the power of God, by money. The gift does not come without repentance, and there are pastors that do that. If you wish to make a contribution here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio, we would appreciate it to sow a seed to our labor. Labor is not worthy of his hire. But to charge a person to put a set fee, I have never done that. A deliverance minister shouldn't do that, and I don't like any deliverance ministry that does that. And there, I do know some. I'm not calling their name, but they ain't on my radio station no more because I don't deal with that. I am not into this ministry for political purposes, for popularity. And if you think you're going to be in a deliverance ministry for popularity, you really got something coming, because this is a garbage collecting ministry. This ministry pick up junk, garbage from people. That's all this is, a garbage collecting ministry where you clean up demons by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can't do that without the gifts. So we're going to tap on that, because being a minister, whether you're a deliverance minister or you're in prophecy or whatever, you got to function in the gifts, man. And if you're not functioning in the gifts, you're not giving people who listening to you any change, because the power of God is not flowing through you. Yeah, I operate in word of knowledge. I'm very strong in word of knowledge. Now, that is my main gift. And I do operate in prophecy, interpretation of the Holy Spirit when the Spirit moves on me. But my main key, my main weapon is discerning of the Holy Spirit when you're doing deliverance, because you need to see these demons. And, yes, you can see demons by gifts of the by discerning of the Spirit. 2 Kings 6:17, Elijah said, "Open my eyes and I may see." And God showed him horses of fire and mountains and flames, and he couldn't see that in the natural. So in order to be a very good deliverance minister, you need to be honed in on the nine gifts and use every last one of them when you're dealing with demons. Should a deliverance minister talk to demons? Jesus talked to demons, though he didn't. He said, "Shut up and come out." He said, "What is thy name?" You have to be led of the Lord to be limited with that. So I have to tell you is be sensitive to the Holy Spirit based on Luke 9:2, and don't have a script. Being a good deliverance minister is to not have a script to figure things out by your flesh and mind, Colossians 2:18, or any human wisdom that brings demons. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, demonic, devilish, James 3. And if you're going to get into some devilish, demonic wisdom, how are you going to cast out demons on people? It's impossible. You can't. And go to James 3. It says in James 3:15, "This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish." And most theologians use devilish wisdom from their human mind deposited into other people by sounding good, the pronunciation of his words. That doesn't move the power of darkness. In a normal clergy setting of a Methodist Episcopal church or a Baptist church, if you are in these churches, I doubt that you will be learning anything in the ministry of deliverance. You got to find a place of worship in the ministry where you should see the gifts moving in operation. Let me give you an example. So I'm telling about what to do in the ministry, but I also want to tell you listeners who are not in the ministry to be careful what you follow. Because everybody who says that they are not. Most people call themselves apostles, and they're not. What they set to do, what they set apart to do. Everybody's an apostle. Everybody's a bishop. They don't even have a church. You got people still wanting their name to be called bishop. Wait 1 minute. I got a long-distance phone call coming in from Israel. My God, hang on. That's Ruthie. Okay, I'm back. So be careful with the titles. You know, a lot of people believe that if a church is real big, it's of God. That's not biblical. Now, let me show you something so you won't get used by the devil. Say, for instance, someone comes to your church and they say they're an evangelist. Do you know what the Bible says about an evangelist? Now, in Scripture, we have all of the gifts and where they set out in the body of Christ. In Ephesians 4:11, this guy's still calling me, and I'm live on air. Okay, I'm sorry. I just can't block that. In Ephesians 4:11, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Most people in the ministry think that Jesus was a preacher. And they say, "Well, I'm going to go on in the preaching ministry." Jesus was not a preacher. If you turn to John 3, you'll see his title. This person is still calling me, and I'm trying. Hang on, brothers and sisters. That was a friend. Okay, can everyone hear me? Brother Mike, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, Brother Mike, you can hear me, Brother Mike?
Yes, sir, I got you.
Okay, all right, that was some friends coming in. All right, now in John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher. See, Jesus was a teacher, came from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. So if you see a minister talking about he's in the ministry, he's a minister of preaching, Jesus was a teacher. There's preaching is for edification. It is not to teach a person. To teach is to enlighten by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the ministry of teaching should be very simple to people if you're going to be a minister. You should be well-rounded in the Word of God by the leading of the Holy Spirit. You shouldn't be doing anything from your fleshly mind, asking people who your mom is, where your dad is. You guessing. And ministers so-called do that. Can't hear the Word of God at all. Can't hear nothing. Just preaching dung, pissing dung, 2 Kings 18, 26 and 27. All right, the evangelist. What does the Bible say about an evangelist if you're going to be in the ministry? Say if you saw someone who says that they're an evangelist and you went to the service, did you see any demons being cast out? You know that's what an evangelist does. In Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And God had set some in church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. The word evangelist occurs, what, three times in the Bible. So you should know that. And if you're going to let someone minister to you, you should know Ephesians 4:11, Acts 21:8, and 2 Timothy 4:5. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But the meaning of the word evangelist is one who brings evangelical good news, a message of good tidings. But I'm going to cut this down and condense it and say, Philip was a primary example of an evangelist in the Bible. And the Bible says Philip cast out demons. So evangelists are supposed to cast out demons based on Acts 8:5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with the palsy. And they was lame and were healed. And there was great joy in the city, people getting healed. So you got evangelists coming to town. Ain't nobody getting healed. Ain't no demons being cast out. But they're taking your money. They're getting you in faith lines. That's nowhere in the Bible where you got to go in a sacrificial faith line that you got to give some money. Especially a $20 bill. Andrew Jackson, the dead president like that. Indian Removal Act. He the one who implemented the Indian Removal Act, and he had slaves. He was the president of the United States. And you mean to tell me that God needs that type of filthy money to establish his kingdom? In ministry, you're supposed to do it with your whole heart, not for profit. The word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things should be added unto thee. There are other ministries that are supposed to be effective in ministry, but we don't see people doing that. Let me give you an example. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. God has set some in church first apostles. Secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. These gifts ministers are supposed to be operating in. And sometimes I find ministers are not operating in this gift. Now, if you're going to be a good minister, you should be able to hear the voice of God. You should be able to hear his spirit. You should just have time meditating. I've been praying all day. All day, I've been praying. I've been fighting the forces of darkness. God has been showing me things in my personal life that cause demonic activity. No minister is perfect. He should be real. He should be honest and not try to hit you up for money every time you're turning around. Now, if you're in the ministry and you call yourself a ministry, you got to have some gifts. And we're going to look at these gifts here in 1 Corinthians 12. Paul deals with the gifts of manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ for the mature good of all members alike. Gifts and manifestations of the Spirit were an indispensable part of the early church life together and ministry. God intended that these gifts continue in operation until Christ's return. But, you know, we don't really see all these gifts coming in operation. You may see tongues in the church and interpretation of tongues, and that's it. Every church speak in tongues, every Pentecostal church, but they don't go beyond that. You may see some prophetic word, but anytime someone bring you a prophetic word, there's no charge to it. Mostly here in the churches in America, they have prophetic word, and now you're going to get in a line and give them some of them $20 bills from Andrew Jackson, that slave owner who implemented the Indian Removal Act. And you're going to use that for God? God doesn't need our money. Money helps the ministry, but money should not be an important symbol when it comes to the nine gifts. I don't like to see that. I will not allow it to happen on this radio ministry. No one will come on here talking about we're going to charge you you give me $25, I give you the word of knowledge. That's witchcraft. Ain't nobody coming on here doing that. I don't do that. I've never begged anyone. A minister shouldn't beg. A minister shouldn't switch the scriptures to twist it. When a person shouldn't know it, you should be able to rightly divide in the word of truth. The manifestation of the gifts and the power and the love of the Spirit among his people in the public gatherings of homes, families, and individual lives. Pastors must teach that. Example, you must both do and teach. Look at O Theophilus, how he began to do and teach. The apostle must do and teach. And if he's doing that, and if he's sent with his anointing that he have, those who are under him can get that anointing. And that apostle is supposed to be happy in that and see that Jesus through him has transferred someone else. That's ministry. And not take credit and stay humble. I do not like pride. If you're in the ministry, don't come to me talking about doctor, pride, all that stuff. Because reverend, to really be honest with you, the Bible reverend means God. Holy and reverend is the name of God, not no human pastor. Okay, the Bible says to help make the preaching of the gospel effective by giving supernatural confirmations to the message. Supernatural confirmations to the message. Now, if the message doesn't have any supernatural confrontations to the enemy, then why are you listening to the garbage? Listen again. To help make the preaching of the gospel effective by giving supernatural confirmation, to the messenger. When you give that power, when they see that gift in you, they see word of knowledge. They know you don't know these people's names, and word of knowledge telling you their name and telling you where they are. Even when they do that, you must test the spirit. Satan can also be deceived as an angel of light. Use wisdom. Supernatural power people must see, Mark 16:15-20, Acts 14:8-18, Acts 16:16-18, Acts 19:11-20, Acts 28:1-10. To meet human needs and to strengthen and build up spiritual, both the church and individual believers are to perfect the believers in love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of a faith unfrailed, to wage spiritual warfare against Satan and the forces of evil. Paul, dealing with spiritual gifts, include Romans 12:3-8, 1 Corinthians 1-7, 1 Corinthians 1:12-14, Ephesians 4:4-16, 1 Peter 4:10-11. The term that the Bible used, spiritual gifts, specifies their nature. Spiritual gifts refers to supernatural manifestations that come as a gift from the Holy Spirit operating through the believer for the common good of the body of Christ. I said the common good. It is not for the pastor to exalt itself. You know, everybody would hear me when I get on the radio and say, I'm his errand boy. I really don't like being called a pastor. I don't like that. I know I'm sent to do radio, but I don't want that. That's a burden, man. You know, the devil don't like apostles. You see, true ministry, Satan don't like that. And see, we have glorified a ministry. And to be a good minister, you don't have to get glorified because you will suffer. You're going to suffer. Christ suffered. We must suffer for his name's sake. And people don't want to do that. I'm going to show you something. And I'm going to read this out of the NIV. I don't use it too often, but when the Lord shows me something, I'm going to show you how Paul, in effective ministry, and false apostles, how he had to deal with it. See, a true minister knows how to deal with it. And you're going to have false brethren that's going to come. If you're a minister, you should be able to discern that. I also want to show you something else, too. And it's a beautiful scripture in the Bible of suffering for Christ's sake. And in the NIV it says that we are the scum of the earth. You know what that said, Big Mike? We're the scum of the earth in the NIV.
Hold on 1 second.
Why you find it, I want to read this to people. I hope you will put up with a little of my foolishness. But you are already doing that. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's coming of your minds, may somehow be led astray from your sincere, pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preach a Jesus other than the Jesus we preach, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you have received, or a different gospel from the one you accept, you better put up with it as easy enough. But I do not think that I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may not be trained to speak. Paul warns us in ministry that there are false apostles. You have to deal with that. You got to be able to test the spirit. So you bring somebody to your church, you don't know who they are. Say what, Brother Mike?
Is 1 Corinthians 4:13.
In the
NIV. Yep.
Okay. Oh, but Mike, you the man. Listen to this. If people really are serious about ministry and they want to be called these names, apostles, bishops, thank you, Pastor. Bishop, deacon, let me show you what they did in the first century. These apostles and how Paul looked at us. So a lot of people in ministry today find it popular to be an apostle. But according to the Bible, it's totally opposite. Let's look. And I'm going to go in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Already you have all your want. Already you have become rich. You have become kings. And that without us, how I wish that you really had become kings so that we might be kings with you. For it seemed to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the possession, like men condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a skeptical to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored. We are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry. Wait a minute. To this very hour, we go hungry? I don't think you want to be an apostle now, would you? And thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. Sell that to Apostle Creflo Dollar. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refusal of the world. That's an apostle. Now, if you look at it, how they got it going on nowadays, apostle, his nails are done. He got his nails shining, his $3,000 suit on. And, you know, gifts follow him. He's a good speaker, a good motivator. But some of these people don't have these gifts, and you need the gifts, the spiritual gifts. You have to have them. It is very, very important that a minister get the spiritual gift. The spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 are supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit given to and through believers. Now, that's for anybody. You don't just have to necessarily be a minister to get the gifts. These manifestations of the Spirit are intended for the upbuilding and sanctification of the church, 1 Corinthians 12:7. The spiritual gifts are not the same as the gifts and ministries mentioned in Romans chapter 12, 6 through 8, and Ephesians chapter 4 through 11, whereby a believer receives the power and ability to minister to a more prominent manner in the church. The list is in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. It's not necessarily all the gifts may occur in various combinations. The manifestation of the Spirit are given to the Spirit's will, not your will. And you have to learn your and teach your spirit how to be led into the Word of God. That takes meditation. That takes praying in the Holy Ghost. That takes fasting. That takes a lot of studying, a lot of studying, a lot of studying, a lot of meditating, a lot of reading. That takes constant fellowship to get that fellowship with Christ if you're going to be in a deliverance ministry. Because when these demons start screaming through people, you better be ready. You better, what's your name? Let me get that demon looking at you like you crazy. Don't be the son of Sceva. See Acts 19, son of Sceva. Some gifts and manifestations of the Spirit occur through individuals on a regular basis, and a believer may have more than one gift to minister to others. The believer ought to desire gifts, not just one. See 1 Corinthians 12:31 and 1 Corinthians 14:1. Don't just desire one. Get all of them. I want them all. It is unscriptural and unwise to assume that because someone exercises a particular gift, that person is more spiritual than one who operates in less specific gifts. Furthermore, possessing a gift does not mean that God approves of all a person does or teaches. Spiritual gifts must not be confused with the fruit of the Spirit, which relates more directly to Christian character and sanctification. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. The Spirit manifestation through gifts may be intended or could be counterfeited by Satan. False workers disguising themselves as servants of Christ. You can see Matthew 7, 21 and 24, Matthew 24, 11, and Matthew 24, and 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, and 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 10. The believer must not believe every spiritual manifestation, but ought to try the spirits whether they are God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. See 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. In 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, Paul lists a variety of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to believers. Though he does not define the characteristics here, we can glean from other passages of scriptures what they might be. Number one, message of wisdom. This is wisdom utterance spoken through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Now, what am I talking about? The nine gifts. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians. Oh, man, we're getting out of time. I'm about to get in, and we're getting out of time. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestations of the gift of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. I want to break down the word of wisdom, and then we're going to pick up part two tomorrow on the ministry do's and don'ts. We're going to move more into the deliverance section tomorrow, how demons can trick you. I've had demons say, I got to use the restroom. The person, I said, don't go nowhere. You ain't got to go nowhere. And they said, thank you. Something kept making me say that. But you got to hear the Holy Spirit, because somebody really want to go to the bathroom and do something on themselves, you're going to make yourself look bad. And there are a lot of ministers that don't operate in the gifts. I'll be honest with you. They do not operate in the gifts, and y'all still give them their money. Y'all go up in there and go spend $1,000 on somebody, and you ain't had no healing or nothing. but he done talked you in and hyped you up and got you dancing so much up and down and full of emotional joy, you couldn't hear God if God came to you because your soul is out of whack. You got to be in the spirit to be a good minister, whether you're ordained, and all ordained ministers by Jesus cast out devils. Now, his ordination is different than the world's ordination. Let me close with that. Being a good minister, you need to be ordained by Jesus. We're going to pick back up with the gifts tomorrow on part two of being in the ministry. And then we're going to move after we get throughout the teachings of speaking about the word of wisdom. We was explaining that. We're going to give everybody some testimonies. I'm going to share you with some things that I've done in the ministry, what we encountered, what not to do, doing an exorcism, things that can help you enhance yourself being a better Christian in the ministry of deliverance. Okay. Last but not least, Mark 3:13, how a good minister is supposed to be ordained, not ordained by man with no piece of paper. That is not ordination. Jesus' ordination is nothing like man's ordination. The ordination that Christ has required us to do is in Mark 3:13, and he goeth up into a mountain and call unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, to have power to heal sickness, and to cast out devils. Most theologians, nothing against you. Your ordination does not have you to do that. You have papers saying that you've been to class, you write a thesis, you're eloquent with your mind, and you're sharp with your correction of your English. That ain't got nothing to do with demons. When the Lord calls you, he calls and ordains you to cast out demons, preach the gospel, and heal the sick. He said it in the book of Mark 3, verse 13, 14, and 15. That is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be first century, not cliquish. The church today is nothing like the church it was when it was in first century days. And God wants that to come back. God is tired of seeing his people being deprived of the authority and power of Yeshua, the Messiah. People need to see the power of Yeshua in the man or the woman of God. And they don't need to honor them, but they need to see the power in them. And if the power is flowing in them, that vessel should be humble and not want the recognition and not want to steal the glory and the authority and power of God's ministry and his word. And if any ministers cross over to that level, you won't be working in the gifts too long. God does not share his glory. He gets the glory. These are his gifts. We must employ them and be humble and not allow pride to attack us as ministers. God bless. I hope that you enjoyed this teaching this evening. We're going to see everyone tomorrow. Brother Mike, do you like any closing thoughts before we go off air? I'm also ask Pastor Durden, you like to share anything for five or three, maybe two or three minutes before we go off air, before we open up the lines. Let me start with Pastor Mike.
Amen, brother. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You are live. Everybody can hear you on YouTube loud and clear.
Amen. I want to say, that message, man, it tells a deep story, man, because a lot of people don't understand or know, you know, what happens, you know, what goes on, you know, behind the scenes. You know, they you know, see deliverance ministers, you know, actually they see them, they may see them work, they may not see them work, but what goes on behind the scenes after the fact, after the deliverance, you know, is the hard part, because, you know, working in the ministry, you can wear yourself out. You know, these spirits, you know, they're coming after you.
They will wear you out. Yeah. Every time I get to do a deliverance, me and Sudan go on a heavy attack, especially when we deal with witchcraft. And people say, don't confess that. I'm not confessing. I'm trying to explain to people what go on as a deliverance ministry. You know, I tell people around me, y'all cast these things out one day and let you sit behind this desk and see don't you catch hell the next day. If any of you don't believe what I'm saying, go cast the demon out in the name of Jesus. Be led of the Lord and get ready for the attack, because the devil is not going to say, okay, you got the power, I'm not going to bother you. Jesus said that the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. The devil's not playing with people. He does not like none of us. And he definitely don't like no deliverance minister. Pastor Durden, you want to nip something in before we get off YouTube Live?
Yes, I really enjoyed the teaching. I enjoyed the teaching tonight. And listening to the session tonight, you know, in my spirit, I came out with, I said, wow, you know what? He's really talking about the characteristics of a godly minister. and especially with respect to a minister of deliverance. And what I'm saying is, a deliverance minister is like that of Miami of the prophets in the Old Testament, you know, where they were strictly good men of God. And I guess a deliverance minister need I call divinely revelation knowledge, where God
she
will
does.
Tell you about what they need to do. And I got, in other words, the deliverance minister experienced God-given knowledge with respect to people, yeah. about people, about what's going on with their life, events, and redemptive truth, whether you know they're really, truly men and women of God. And I also appreciate the thought that came by the Holy Spirit saying the primary purpose, you talk about the gifts, or the primary purpose of the knowledge is to what? Encourage the believers to remain faithful. Go there, see that you realize, my God, how does man know this about me? And so it would encourage them to remain faithful. Either if they're backsliding, they would go, come back to God. I also really like what you said when you said the primary purpose of the knowledge, you know, the knowledge and the gifts of the Spirit is to encourage the believers to remain faithful to God and His covenant. And also I got you saying, and there are all kinds of, you know, evil people out there, and a deliverance minister can really be helpful because it can tell that person, that man or that woman, all about his backsliding lifestyles, and have them to encourage them to come back to God. And then there's two more things I'd like to say. What I really love, I call you deliverance minister. Deliverance minister, as I see it, is a person who has a close relationship with God and becomes God confident. When I say becomes God's confident, He will share you what's going on, what's going to happen a couple of days from now, what's going to happen a week, who's going to die within 7 days. See, deliverance minister is one I call God's covenant. Another point, deliverance minister to me is one who not only hears the voice of God, but also teach only what is revealed by God. When I remember when you first started, to make a long story short, God would show you what He wanted you to say by writing on the wall, and you can see it on the wall. Oh, He was speaking your ear. And another thing I like about it, I got out of the session and I said, when you're a deliverance ministry, you got to operate in the gift. And I mean, amen on that. I mean, you got to know the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and so forth, and all these gifts to operate as an effective deliverance minister. And also, here you're saying, just two more points. He's one that does not prescript what is to be taught. In other words, you were saying that he should sit down there and write his sermons and write everything else. He should come directly from the God. And he must be knowing the Holy Spirit. And the last thing, the teaching and the preaching are always what? Directed by the Holy Spirit. And a deliverance minister and a really godly man, sometimes God allow that person to see into the spirit realm, can see demons, hear demons, and so forth. But he must be a godly man and is very sensitive to sin.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Pastor Mike.
Yes, sir.
Any final thoughts?
Nah, man, I want to go back to what you brought out, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 13, man, about being despised and being the scum of the earth. That right there. That right there.
Yeah. That describes the apostle. And that's in 2nd, what was that, 2 Corinthians 4?
2 Corinthians, what did I say, 1 Corinthians? Yeah, 2 Corinthians.
Thank you.
Let me make sure.
1 Corinthians 4. And if anybody listen to me, if you have the NIV Bible, go to, it says Apostles of Christ, the whole chapter. And it don't look good. It's no glorious position. And people are making this position apostle like it's something. Let me tell you something. You don't pray with God. And you don't try to use positions of God for your own good, because it ain't going to work. And there are people that does that. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Brother Mike.
Uh-oh. Let's go.
Reverend A.D. Dowden, 7 days.
Brother Reverend A.D. Dowden, brother, you have 7 days to repent, brother. The word has gone forth. word of knowledge has been given. The sin that you caught in, brother, you have 7 days to repent of it. 7 days.
Deacon Robert Milton, 7 days.
Deacon Robert Milton, you have 7 days as well, brother. You've heard the warning. 7 days to repent. Turn away from your sin, brother.
There is someone out there that has swelling in their ankle. In the name of Jesus, call on his name. The Lord is revealing to me that you will get healed, swelling in your ankle. There are some people also who are having problems reading the Bible. They're falling asleep. Give me a call, air code 444-461-9522. Email me at overtonavy1@gmail.com. Also, there are eight people that's worrying right now. They're worrying about Christmas. How are they going to get this done? And they're stressed out. That's not God. You need to go to read Psalms 37. You eight people, Psalm 37. Psalm 37. There is a person who has cataracts in their eyes. The Lord says he can heal you. You just believe in his name. Close your eyes. Say the blood of Jesus. Open them. Believe. You get healed. And I ain't doing no healing. It's the Lord. Look here. A good minister never, I don't give me no credit. It's Jesus. I'm just a vessel. I do not want no credit. I'm nobody. And for any man to try to steal the credit of God, I rebuke any of you preachers out here. I rebuke you. You are not the limelight. Jesus is the king. You are not the king. You are a follower of the king. Amen. Also, there is some people that's getting a financial breakthrough. There are some other people that's not tithing. I don't know where you're at. I don't ask you to tithe here. Wherever you at, you obey God. I don't say that to get your money. I'm just saying by what the Lord is telling me. There are people out there that you don't tithe, you don't sow seeds, and you're under curse, Malachi 3:8. Whether it's here or wherever, you know, obey God, because God got me. I don't have to worry about that. See, a good minister don't have to try to persuade people's money. He don't have to do that. The word of knowledge and the power through him, God will move on people's heart. That's how it's supposed to be done. Okay, that's it for tonight. We're going to open up other lines here with some other people here, and we are through for tonight on this teaching. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to come back with part two. God bless you here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. Again, don't forget to tell someone about Live Deliverance Internet Radio. Tell someone about it. Please tell someone and to subscribe to our YouTube. We need it. We got 5 more new people now. We're at 166 subscribers. We need 500 subscribers. When we hit that 1,000 mark, that's when the Lord revealed to me we're going to start opening up and moving on TV. God has showed me how this is going to get done. He's told me that we're going to have a TV station, and it's going to be a television with interviews of people, and we're going to have it in a unique technical way that person may be someone else, and I'm there, and you can see them on our mic and on our internet. I'm going to be working on that. Also, the first of the year, Live Deliverance Internet Radio, we are trying to get a new website. Sow a seed and help us out. www.livedeliverance.com. Sow a seed. Help us out. We appreciate you sowing the seed of God. Move upon your heart and continue to pray for us. God bless, and that's it for this evening. Okay, Big Mike, we're going to open up lines. Air code, Big Mike, give me 845. Big Mike, I need 845. 845.
845, you have the mic.
Brother. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Brother Edmund, man, that was a very, very, very interesting teaching, brother, on the gifts. One thing that I will say is that what came up in my spirit to the other verse, what was it, 1 Corinthians 4:13, was Hebrews 11, I believe verses 33 and on. You could probably match that up with it as far as it goes to being an apostle. You know, it says that pretty much of whom the world wasn't worthy of, and you know, but we go through a lot of trouble, and that's definitely nothing to you know, being a servant of Christ, period, is actually, it's really tough. You know, it's not something
tough,
that,
man. This is not easy. You know? 845 being a minister is hard. That you got things in you, you got
like
to get taken care of.
Yeah,
man. You got to kill your own flesh. You got to resist your own temptation. You got your own sin, and other people calling you about their sin. You know, you got to stay focused with Christ, man, and make sure that he's the centerpiece of your ministry. Because if he's not, it'll wear you out. There's no way a human being can cast out demons without the power of God. Me and Sister Dirty do 25 of them a month.
Right. Brother. Yeah, brother, you guys are definitely doing Lord's will, definitely. And man, I just hope one day I could be there too, brother. You know, I truthfully admire women and men of God that are truly following God's word and following Jesus Christ. A lot of people, they don't, you know, of the world, they don't really understand that, but that's what I desire. And I know you know, it's gonna take some time, but I know also that it's, you know, what the word of God makes it clear that you know, it says that they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, you know, that they wandered about in the sheepskins and in goatskins, that they were destitute, they were afflicted, tormented. Brother, all these things right here, you know, you know, that they wandered in the deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth.
They suffered, man.
I mean,
they suffered. Those men suffered.
I mean, yeah, like, what else, like, could you say? And you know, when Christians say that they really want to be apostles or really servants of God, you have to look at these verses right there. I believe even Paul was stoned. I mean, Paul could probably died. You know what I mean?
I got it.
As you talking to me, 845, Big Mike, you got an NIV?
I don't. Let me see if I can get one real quick.
Oh, give me King James. Give me King James, Big Mike.
Yeah,
all right, let's go.
Bible Hub. 845.
Yes, sir.
As you was talking, I heard this at my spirit. Big Mike, give me Acts 5:17, 18, 19, 20, and 21.
Acts 5:17.
Five, 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. King James.
Oh, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, Go, stand and speak in the temple to all the people the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple the early morning and taught.
God got our back. We're going to suffer. We're going to suffer. Eric, go 228, Big Mike.
Hey, Apostle.
Eric, go 228.
Hey, did you get blessed tonight?
I didn't get to listen to the entire sermon. I just took my final, but I got one of my grades back. I didn't get what I expected, so I have to make a certain grade on my final, or I have to retake the class.
No, we ain't going to do that. Let's pray.
Okay.
We ain't going to do that. Father, we come up against any spirit that's trying to get up to forget. Hey, let me ask you something. I just heard something from the Lord. When you take your test, do you get nervous?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit told me that. That's what's stopping you, spirit of fear. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I renounce the spirit of fear.
I renounce the spirit of fear.
And I ask it to come out of me now.
You ask it to come out of me now.
You, my spiritual daughter, I want you to blow, okay? Start blowing.
Okay.
Coming out of her. Coming out of her. You're not going to block her. Get her there. here you come trying to put me in her. Come out of her. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get out of her. Let her go. Fireballs and splatter and spear. Leave her. You can do all things through Christ. Get out of her, you foul, wicked spirit of fear. Blood of Jesus command you to leave her. The blood. Go. Go, fear. Go, fear. Fear, leave. You gone. Go. Get out of her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I need you to read before you take that test. Before you take that test, the Lord is telling you, you read two verses. Psalms 37. Uh-oh. Big Mike.
Yes, sir.
Got word of knowledge. Give her Psalms 23.
Okay. The whole Psalms.
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
1 Kings 2:15.
And he said, thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their faces on me, that I should reign. Howbeit the kingdom is turned about, and is become my brother's, for it was from his, from the Lord.
It's yours, sister. Receive it. Okay, don't let that fear get you. At the time you said that, the Holy Spirit said, spirit of fear. I said, hey, I heard the Holy Spirit say that. It's that spirit of fear. That's what's blocking you from trying to take that test. When you take that test again?
Well, I have my other final tomorrow, but I just took the final today, and I won't know if I pass the class until tomorrow.
Well, we're going to change that now. Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus. We are speaking in faith. Change that, Lord, and make it right for her. Now, the Lord has sent me to tell you something. Wait a minute. I got to go to James. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Elijah had the power to control the weather of Israel for 3 years because he believed. Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible for him that what? Believe it. Believe it. You have to believe. Ask the Lord to be with you. Okay? Elijah was a man who had faith that his prayer to God was accomplished much, even to the point of God's intervention in the course of nature. He believes that prayer by a righteous person does release God to change things. And you are righteous by his blood. 1 Kings 17:22, 2 Thessalonians 3:11, Psalms 34:6, Isaiah 38:1. I'm getting this by word of knowledge. We should avoid any teachings that understand our faith in God's willingness to respond to our prayers for his intervention in our lives and that of others. One such teaching is that the concept of faith. We must have faith to believe. Scripture teaches that God deals with his children, and he will answer our prayers if it's done in his will. And there's nothing wrong with what you're trying to do. Father, we come and move on faith that she will pass this test. The prayers of the righteous draw near to God, opens up the way to self-filled life. It builds us up spiritually through your name, Lord Jesus. Help us overcome Satan. Enable them to receive and for her to receive what she needs to get out of this school. In the name of Yeshua, in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, we pray. Amen. go and get into the Word when you go home tonight, when you're at home, study Psalms 37th chapter. And before you start praying, bind up the spirit of fear here and give me a good report tomorrow. Believe, believe, believe.
Okay.
God bless.
God bless.
Mm-hmm. Big Mike, close it out.
Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, we come before you, Father, to give you honor, glory, and praise. Father, we thank you for, Father, the message, the teaching, and the understanding and knowledge that went forth tonight, Father. Father, continue to open up the spiritual eyes and knowledge of those, Father, who are coming into the ministry of deliverance, Father. Bless each and every one in this ministry, Father, that has a desire for this ministry and to help those who are in need, Father. Continue to watch over us and guide us, Father, as we give you all glory, honor, and praise. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.
Good night, everybody. Big Mike, I'll see y'all tomorrow.
All right, brother.